What have you begged to do lately? We often think of begging more like childlike behavior. I remember when I was 5 living in Germany. It had snowed. Very common in this part of Germany. We wanted to go outside. And we pleaded and we begged, and my mother said, "No, you will get wet." And we said, "No, we won't." My mother said, "No, you will get cold." We said, "We don't care." My mother said, "No, you will go." Right behind the housing was the playground, and next to the playground was the elementary school I attended. And in the playground was this cement-bordered wall sandbox. And when it snowed, it filled with slush. And my mother said, "You will go to the sandbox." And we go, "No, we won't." So my mother dressed us up in our mittens and everything else, and we went out the front door, around the building, and directly to the sandbox and jumped in. My mother hollered. We lived on the second floor. My mother hollered from the window, "Get in here," and we were in trouble. But we begged to go. For you who have been born, raised, and lived all your life in Tennessee, would you beg to play in snow? A lot of Southern people that I know hate snow. They dread winter. The guy on the news this morning, I don't know if you saw it, if you were on the same channel I was, the weather gal was saying it's fall this week. It's the beginning of fall. He says he didn't like fall. And she was surprised because he said, because winter's next. You know, he even said later, if it was just fall and then it went to spring, that would be okay. But he did not want to be cold. He would not have wanted to have a snowball fight because your hands freeze. And when you get hit with that stuff, that's cold. And he would not have wanted to do a lot of things. And what we find in life, this is true, is to the things that we are not passionate about, to the things that we do not enjoy, for the things that we do not like experiencing, we will not beg to do. You understand? If you hate school, you don't beg to go to school. If you hate work, you are not itching to get up before the alarm goes off, right? You want to stay in bed. We want to do something else. Today's example for us from the scriptures is a Bible verse from 2 Corinthians. It said, "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this was not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us." They begged to give. It was a difficult time in history for many Christians, and they were miserable, and they were starving, and they were persecuted. In a sense, they were suffering. And there were these other Christians, and prosperity was not on their list, but they were doing a little bit better. And they were willing to take out of what they had. In fact, more than willing, they begged. They begged to give. And they pestered the apostles to do that. I can imagine it might sound childlike, but not quite as bad as me as a 5-year-old, begging my mom to go out into the snow, knowing that I'm going to do something wrong the first few seconds I get. But I imagine their heart and their mind, as these verses says, first they gave themselves to the Lord, and then to the others. They begged to give. But what is our perspective about giving? It's more like the word we use, either suffer or sacrifice. We sacrifice out of our income. We sacrifice with our time. We sacrifice with our talent. Yeah, I gotta go to church. They need me. You know. When is someone in your house said, "Let's go! I want to go. Please, please, can we go? Can we go now?" You know? Or has it been more, "Do we have to?" When were you awake to come here for a Bible study group or a meeting or worship, and you were itching to go, raring? It's a good question, isn't it? And what we find is when our heart and our mind is not in line with what God wants us to do, but our heart and our mind has other values, other things, other pressures, other desires, and as in the readings for today, other passions, then our service to the Lord, our stewardship, our discipleship, our faithfulness starts to back away. We don't beg to make pledges. We don't beg to volunteer, because now it has become a sacrifice. So which, according to God, can it be for us? And the example is right there in the Bible. That all that we have and all that we are belongs to God in the first place. The Bible calls us managers, right? Stewards. All of our time, all of our energy, our health, and even our illnesses that God may be using as an example to glorify Him, all that you are and all that you have sets as an opportunity to be used for His purpose. Your faithfulness in the workplace, that's good. It honors God. It shows the integrity of a heart of a child of God. Your care for your co-workers is an opportunity to show the love of God. Your faithfulness of working on, being at work on time and working the whole day through, instead of seeing, well, you got 15 minutes on the clock there, you know, and I don't think I'll do anything. So you put your foot up on your desk, you know, lean back, smoke them if you got them, although that's not allowed anymore. You know, maybe have another cup of coffee toward the end of the day. You know, it's all kinds of attitudes that we see. And what happens in the workplace and in the community and at school is in so many ways not different than here, inside God's house and among God's family. We are not willing to do what the world calls sacrifice. It's interesting how that definition of what it means to sacrifice has changed. My mother did not work outside the home. Raising children, six of us, was work. Okay? But today's language, she sacrificed. She gave up a career. She gave up a profession. She gave up getting more education. She gave up doing what she wanted to do according to today's language. But if you ask my mom, she said that did not apply. She wanted to be the mother, and she wanted to raise us, and she worked hard doing it. Unfortunately, I made her work harder. Okay? But in today's world, that decision is rejected, isn't it? And for the role reversal, where the man becomes the Mr. Mom and the woman has the career. Men look at the man as, you want to do what? How could you sacrifice your life like that? And the man would say, but I want to. You give and donate to the church, and people call that stupid because it interferes with your lifestyle and all the passions. Think what you could do with that money, you know? And then it finds all kinds of reasons about the church to not give it that money. And then your time. Did you know that time has now become more precious than money? We hire, and it has been for some time, churches hire more things done now than we did in the 1960s. In the 1960s, congregations were far more self-sufficient. But now, we don't have the people's time because their schedules are so full of everything else that's going on in life that there's nothing left, or very little left. And it's a challenge. But to give up those things, by world's definition, would be a sacrifice. To give up all the dance lessons, all the music lessons, all the sports that begins at the age of 5 with T-ball and everything else, to give those up so that you could be here is a sacrifice. There's no passion. There's no begging to come to God's house. Because we don't want to be here. And it's a challenge for us, isn't it? It's a sacrifice if your cell phone broke. I'm old enough to remember we had a phone in the house. We had a phone at my dad's hospital because he worked in hospitals. Okay. And if you needed a phone and you were out and about, you used a payphone. Do you remember how much it cost? A dime. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember grumbling when it went to 25 cents. Okay? There was no problem not having a cell phone. But now, our cost of style of living has escalated so much. Of the things that we seem to think we have to have. And if we don't have them, we are suffering and we are being sacrificed. Our life is being sacrificed and we're wasting away. And it's a challenge. There's a movement, Gwen and I like to watch HGTV sometimes. There are some things I don't care about their agenda. But tiny house living seems to be a movement, if you've heard of that, you know, where people are downsizing. And I'm guilty. We have turned our middle bedroom, we have the front office, we have the living room, a bathroom. This middle bedroom is now part of the master closet suite. It's something like 10 by 10 with a closet organizer in it. And we can get through it through the master bathroom, going through the existing closet, which was 4x4 or something like that, and now we go this, and there is clothing on all the racks. And no, my wife does not have 75% of it. Okay? I have room in this closet. And so there's this movement about downsizing and thinking about doing with less clothing and less this and less stuff and less memorabilia and less clutter. And all of that. There's this, and they don't see like it's sacrifice. But when you see in the community all the stuff that we gather and collect, to give that up is a pain. It's suffering. It's a sacrifice. To do with less is almost unheard of. In fact, the insistence on minimum wage going up is because the cost to live today with all that we want requires money. And I don't know what the answer is for that. Gwen and I have lived paycheck to paycheck. We have been there when we barely covered the expenses and many times not. We didn't have health insurance when we were first married. We paid the doctors what we could. And sometimes the doctors wouldn't take anything. They were very gracious. We've been there to the pantry, to the WIC, Women and Infant Children Program. We've been there to the food bank and the like. We've been there with food stamps and things like that. We both worked. We've been there, and we found it difficult, but we did without. You didn't hear us grumbling. You didn't hear us moaning. You didn't hear us begging the church, because that's what my job was, for more income. We lived within our means. We weren't able to give 10%. We didn't have anything extra after we fed ourselves and our new baby girl. And then, lo and behold, God gave us a second child, another daughter. And I'm convinced this day girls cost more than boys, but y'all may have a different view of that. But you understand, I would have never said raising two girls was a sacrifice. It was a pain. Challenging, yes. Frustrating, yes. But my heart and my mind, I continued to surrender to the Lord. And we did the best we could with what we had. That's all God's asking you to do. To put your heart and your mind and your passion in line with Him. Wherever and whatever circumstances your life and point and journey is at. You can have health issues that hinder you. You can have financial issues that hinder you. You could have lack of skills that hinder you. I mean, it could be any number of things. But still, all He asks is that what He has given to you, your body and soul, eyes and ears, arms, hands, feet, and all that you have at your disposal, your resources, is that you find ways to be passionate about Him, about the work of the church, about the ministry. We have a challenge at this congregation because the compensation for the staff is well over half the budget. But I have news for you. I served a smaller congregation, and my salary was a whole lot less than here, okay? $20,000 was my total income. Car allowance, business allowance, no health insurance, everything, okay? And I was still quite a bit of the budget, and they grumbled then. You have an opportunity. The pledge forms have been mailed. You have an opportunity to have your heart and your mind in line with God. You have an opportunity, nameless, yes, anonymous, yes, to write down what that number might be as far as your financial commitment here at Grace Lutheran. And in a sense, I pray that by the power of faith, you beg to give between you and the Lord. I don't expect you to come to me begging. But this is an opportunity to serve Him. This is an opportunity to glorify His name. This is an opportunity to show the world, the community around us, that this ministry, this mission, not only the facility, is important. It has a purpose. It has a connection to your life and to the life of the people we serve. And maybe to others whom we can bring into the family. It's an opportunity. But if you see it as a drudgery, if you see it as a victim, if you see it as a pain, then we will have a hard time together glorifying God in the oneness of the faith, in the oneness of Christ who died for us and rose for us and gave us this gracious life we have, not only the existence here, but this gracious eternal life that's within us. So that we can join and echo the words of Paul, I've learned to be content in plenty and in want. I would be content with no cell phone, by the way. I would not mind only having a phone at the house and at the office, which is right back there, by the way. You know. And when I retire, just one phone's going to do us. You understand? We have chosen the cost of living by our passions. I have to have. You've watched the home shows mainly. Maybe you've watched them. Maybe you've not wasted that time. Maybe you've found something better to do. But I find it interesting when couples that are going to get married and they're in their 20s and they're going, well, I have to have stainless steel appliances. These need updating. Oh, those laminate tops are horrendous. Yeah. And the cost of the house is going up and up and up. And sometimes one of them says, but we have to stay in budget. And the other one says, I don't care about the budget. In other words, they're not willing to do without. And we laugh about that. But the challenge at this time of the year in our financial planning is we have to ask ourselves the same question. What am I willing to do without that I may give graciously, passionately, and fully to the work of the Lord? I don't know what that number is. I don't know what your time commitment can be. That's between you and God. But I do know it can be done. I've seen the graciousness and the generosity of this congregation. We helped someone with medical bills, one of our members. We've helped people get food. We've taken food to the sick. We've helped people and walked with them when they grieved. Time and time again, you have shown the heart of Christ. You have been willing to be the least so that you can lift someone up. I know it's here. I've watched it and been a part of it for 15 years here. And I don't expect it to end. So I'm just encouraging you to take the time to take a look at how our lifestyle choices at times can cost the work of the Lord. It can hinder it. And can we reverse that course? I trust the Lord that His will would be done among us and in us and through us. How about you? Are you willing to beg to give? Isn't that different? Isn't that different? But that's what we are as God's people. We are different than the world because Christ has called us out of darkness into the light in His marvelous grace. Amen.